Okay, so we're doing this again, Yud Tesamen Aleph Megillah. Okay?
Question.
Yeah, so it says, so where do you read the Megillah? Right? Meheichan Kor Yadamas Megillah, Yasa Dechavaso, it's the middle of the Mishnah, Yud Tesamen Aleph. Right? From where do you have to read the Megillah? Rabbi Yotzei? Okay, Megillah, there you go. Rabbi Meir Omer, Kula, funny question. You think Pasha. Rabbi Meir says Kula, you have to read the whole Megillah. What else do you think? No, of course. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, nope. Ne'ish Yehudi. Right? Ish Yehuda B'shir Shanabira. Perek Beis. That's okay. Introduction of Mordechai. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Me'achad Var Ma'ila. Right? Achad Var Ma'ila Gidel Me'ach Chashverosh Es Haman. Right? Introduction of Haman. Good. So we have three-way machlokas, and we'll see in a second a four-way machlokas.
Right.
So far, so again, you start from the beginning. You start from the beginning of Mordechai, the beginning of Haman. Okay? And then, if you jump down to the Gemara, Mehechan HaKaretz Megillah, it's like three-fifths way down the page. Tanya, Rav Shema Yechayom, Rav Mibalei Lahu. Balei Lahu, it's Perek Zayin, Vav? Yeah. Perek Vav? Okay, Malach Malach. Okay, so you got a four-way machlokas about where you start reading the Megillah from. Now again, so you think it's Pashat, you start from the beginning. Right? Strange machlokas. Okay. So the Gemara is going to explain the source of this machlokas. Okay? And we're going to have two Amoraim. Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Huna explain the two different sources for this four-way machlokas. Okay, so the machlokas and machlokas tanaim, and we're going to have two different amoraim, Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Huna, explain the source of this four-way machlokas tanaim.
What's the fourth way?
Rabbi Yochanan, mikra achadarshu. So they all learn it from the same pasuk. Okay, mikra achad. So what is the pasuk? The tichtov Esther Malka Mordechai haYehudi es kol tokef. Okay, so Mordechai and Esther wrote this whole tokef.
What's tokef on account?
That's a good question. What does tokef mean? It's not very clear what it means. But I guess we could go with strength or theme. It seems like those are the two interpretations. Neither one of them is especially clear. So let me see. Let me find it here. Okay, so it says, by Tichtov, this is Tas, Chaf Tas. Tichtov Esther Mordechai Esther Malka Basa V'Chayel Mordechai Yedias Kol Tokef L'Kayim Yeres Aparim Azos Hashenis. So what they wrote, the whole Tokef Takva is like, I think it means, this plain sign means like strength, but Tokfo Shal Neis, Rashi just says Tokfo Shal Neis, whatever, Rashi doesn't tell you what it means. I think it was Ibn Ezra Kimo Chozak, it means like the strength. If we say in sign of Tokef, let us explain like the strength, or sure, say the manner of the day. Okay, so Ibn Ezra was saying it means the strength. Yeah, I saw somewhere else it says Inyan. I saw in the Sifta. I think they quoted a Medrash, which says it means the Inyan. Okay, so they wrote down the whole Tokef. Okay, so what does that mean? What's it referring to? So Rashi, so now the Gemara, it says, Rabbi Yochanan is claiming that they're both going off of this pasuk, okay? Manda Amar Kula, the one who says you have to read the whole Megillah, Tokef Shal Achashverosh. What does it mean, the Tokef? The strength, let's call it the strength, of Achashverosh. So therefore you have to start from the beginning, because Tokef Achashverosh begins from the very beginning. Umanda Amar Meish Yehudi, Tokef Shal Mordechai, Tokef Mordechai. Umanda Amar Me'achad Var Ma'ila, Tokef Shal Haman. And that's where Haman's introduced. Umanda Amar Le'ilahu, Tokef Shal Neis. It's the strength of the nace, and the nace, the primary nace, began at Dashan Samelech. He couldn't sleep, and the Sefer Zochronos, and Mordechai, and that's when things started coming together. Right? Okay, Rashi, it says, Kol Tokef, Nekayim Igeres HaPurim, Al Tokef Hizkei Gvilaskir. So you see that their makbid to mention the Tokef, that was what they were specifically making sure to include. So it's saying, the question is, which Tokef are you talking about? Tokef Shal Achashverosh from Tchilasa, he made the Berach with Tokef Atzofa. From the beginning till the end, there's a Tokef Achashverosh. Okay? So it's a four, it sounds like they wrote the Tokef. And that's the main thing, is they made sure to write the Tokef, and therefore, presumably, that's what we have to read, the Tokef, the strength, And which tokef are you talking about? There's the tokef of Ahasuerus, tokef of Haman, tokef of Mordechai, tokef of Nebuchadnezzar. Well, I guess he's learning. They wrote and they included, they made sure to include the tokef in what that which they wrote.
The tokef was just the main part of the
writing. Right. I mean, they wrote a text which included the tokef, but a tokef, hisker, lachbid, that's what Rashi's learning. Right, that's apparently that they're hikbil haskir, that they're making sure to include the tokef in it. Right, it's funny because the Rashi on the pasuk there says what's like it's called tokef. Tokef shel neis, shel nachashveru, shel haman, shel mordechai, shel Esther. So he just throws them all in. He adds on Esther, which is plain pshat. What do you mean they wrote all the tokef? It means all of them, everything. Right. Well, why would you limit it to only one tokef? So you only have to read the part about Haman. Only have to read the part about Tokef Mordechai. Only have to read the Neis. And even the one who says Kulo is not saying you have to read the whole Megillah because, of course, it's the whole Megillah. He says because Tokef Ahasuerus. Tokef Ahasuerus happens to be. It goes from the beginning to the end. Right? And like against, how about according to the one who says Tokef of Haman? Could you stop when Haman is killed? It doesn't sound like they're arguing where you stop. It sounds like they're arguing where you start. Right? But I mean, it's not clear why not. Okay? Sounds good? On the surface, they're only arguing about where you start. They're not arguing where you stop. It doesn't say they're arguing where they stop. So if they are, presumably you should say that. Right? I mean, the Mishnah says, Mehechon Koreas Megillah. It doesn't say, Ad Hechon Koreas Megillah. So I'm deducing that you'd have to read the whole thing. But that being, till the end, but that being the case, saying is it's hard to understand, well, what's the, why? If the whole thing is Tokef Shel Haman, I guess Haman's the only real kasha, because Mordechai, say, goes till the end, and the Neis, you could say, goes to the end. Ahasuerus, they say, Rashi goes to the end, and Haman, I mean, I don't know, you have his sons, I don't know, you could argue, I'm not sure. Maybe Haman's a kasha. Okay, so let's keep going. So that's basically, according to Rav Yochanan, that's the source of the machlokas. How your dorish this word is called tokef. Okay? Okay. Okay, let's read a little further. Rav Huna Amar Mehacha. Rav Huna dorish is it. He says, no, it's not from the tokef. Okay, it's not from the tokef pasuk. It's from a different one. Mehacha. Uma ra'u al kacha uma hagi alayim. Okay? So this is also in the Megillah. And it says, this is Taschav Vav. It says, Al Kain Karu La Yom HaYilapur Mal Shem HaPur. Al Kain Al Kal Devei Yerasas Os. Whatever that means. Uma Ra'u Al Kacha Uma Hagi Alayim. The thing is, and what they saw regarding this, and what occurred to them, what reached to them. Kimu V'kibla Yidim HaYilam HaZaram Al Nogam Al Abar Lios Osim Shnei Yom HaYilak Chasam HaZaman V'chal Shem HaShana. The Jews accepted to retain Purim forever. Okay, so what does it mean? Ma ra'u al kacha mahagi alayhem. So Rashi says like this. Ma ra'u al kacha. So it says, I'm sorry. So it says like this. So Rashi explains a little bit. Ha Megillah nichtiva v'nikres. The Megillah is written and is read. To tell the generations, Ma ra'u be'osan hazman, what did they see in that time? She'asu ma she'asu, that caused them to do that which they did. Right? Ma ra'u, what did they see? Umifaresh, and it explains, Al kacha, asu, because of this, because of what we'll explain in a minute. Umifaresh, ma gi'al osim, and it's then going to explain what happened because of that. So you'll see there's going to be four examples of it. Basically, he's going to say, what caused the players to do that which they did? Al-kacha, because of this. And what happened? What was the outcome? The following. Okay? So the Megillah is specifically including a lesson about Maro al-kacha ma'agi alayhim. And you'll see there's going to be four lessons of Maro al-kacha ma'agi alayhim. And the question is, which lesson we want to include is going to teach us where you read the Megillah from. Okay? So let's see. This is again Rabbi Yochanan Rahuna's interpretation of the Purim Machlokas, right? Okay, so it says like this. Gemara explains. It says, "Uma manda mar kula ma ra Ahasuerus in the shtam shemekenu shel beis hamikdash." What did Ahasuerus see that caused him to start using the kelim of the beis hamikdash? Right, because Chazal Ador said the Kelim him showing him he's using the claim as Mikdash. Why did he do that? What did he see? Ma ra'u? Ah, al kacha. Because of the following. Shemishim nechashiv shivim shnen. Will ifrik? Because he calculated 70 years and the Jews weren't redeemed there, so it was being galah for 70 years. And it turns out 70 years were up according to his count and they weren't redeemed. Uh-oh. So now it must be that they're not going to be redeemed. So now he took an opportunity to use the Kelim as Mikdash and to show the Mikdash is nothing and it's fake and this and that. And, you know, he had he was able to have Taiva unrestricted. The Mikdash wouldn't be able to restrain him. He used any Kelim he wanted. Okay? And Umar Giyala him, and what happened? What reached him because of this type of display? The Katal Vashti. He ended up killing Vashti. He let loose in his Taivos and fully engaged in every which way. And what ended up happening is he ended up killing Vashti. Okay, he got drunk, he this, right? You know how it goes. So it's a lesson about... And the Plame Shah is saying the Jews saw, at the time, they saw this, and they were Kabbalah, they saw how the lifestyle of Ahasuerus is looking for total daiva. He doesn't want any restrictions. The Beis Mikdash represents like restrictions and Kedusha, and he wants out. He's not interested in that. He's having total feast, party, all that. But look what happens. He ended up getting drunk and making a stupid decision and killing his wife. Right? So they saw that. So therefore, that mandama, Mordechai Migalim, is referring to the whole Mordechai deal. And therefore, you have to start from the beginning. Right? It's funny, because by this logic, the same caution. So you should end at the end of the first barak. When he killed Vashti. Right? But again, I don't think that's what he's saying. Right? Rashi doesn't address that at this time. Right? Okay, fine. So that's that mandama. Umanda Amar Meish Yehudi, the one who says you start from where they introduces Mordechai. Ma'ro Mordechai, Dikni Baman. What in the world did Mordechai see to make Haman so jealous of him, so angry at him? Al kacha, because of this. Dashavei Nashi Avodah Zarah, because he made himself into an idol, into an Avodah Zarah. Right? So he says, listen, I can't bow down to him, no matter what the political repercussions, I can't. It's like Avodah Zarah, it's the Yarek Vayavar. Uma Gyalim, and what ended up happening to him? Contrary to what you would think, the Shachas Nisha. He had a nace happen, and he ended up, the Jews survived, despite the fact that he did that thing, which is seemingly politically crazy, political suicide, but it ended up leading to a nace. So that's Ma'ar al-Kacha, the Jews saw that, what happened to Mordechai, who stuck by his ideals, and wouldn't cave in to Vodazara, to Haman. Right? Okay, so that's why you gotta start from Mordechai, where introduces Mordechai. Okay. Umanda Ramachad Ramaila. Right, from when Haman was introduced. Mara Haman Shiniskane Bakala Yudim. What did Haman see that he was so jealous of all the Jews? Why did he get so mad and he had to kill all the Jews? Why? Al Kacha? Mishun the Mordechai. Because Mordechai wouldn't bow down to him. And he couldn't handle it. Kalsain in Shavili. Right? All of his power, all of his might. That's not worth anything. The one Mordechai doesn't bow down to him, and in order to solve that problem, his ego had to be totally, you know, all powerful. No one could question him. He had to wipe out the Jews because he knew they were the Mordechai. He knew the ideology of the Jews stood directly in contrast to his megalomania. That he's really all powerful. On the contrary, the Jew says, "No, you're just another person. We're not going to bow down to you." So he, because of that, he threatened he was going to wipe out all the Jews. And what happened to him? Sure enough, he got wiped out. His own megalomania was his downfall. He slipped up with Ahasuerus. He says he's going to hang Mordechai. He was going to try to take the power for himself. But he got Mordechai got to his head, and he ended up stumbling. And that's the lesson which the Jews saw, the downfall of the personality of the Malik, the megalomaniac. Right? Okay, so therefore he says you gotta start Megillah from there. Good? Umandam Rabbalaila Ho, and the Mandam says you start from the sixth parak. Ma ra Ahasuerus, Lahavia Sefer Zechronos. What did Ahasuerus see to bring the Sefer Zechronos on that night? Al Kacha, because of this, there's a minte la Esther. Esther Lahman Bhade, because Esther invited Haman to the party. And it got him crazy. What's going on here? What's going on? Why is this party? What's the whole big deal? What's happening? Maybe, I don't know, some plot, some something. And he's, I got to look in Sarah Zechonos. Maybe there's something I'm not aware of. Some I have to reward, whatever. He got, couldn't sleep. Looks around, sees if he has to do something. And that's why he ended up brings his Ronos and Magi Alem, and what ended up happening through that? This Rakas Nisa was an ace, and sure enough, it turned to Mordechai and the whole rest. It's funny, because you'd think you'd have to start a little earlier in order to understand why he got Zeres Achronos, because it's the party, it's saying it's the party which aroused his anger, his jealousy, his suspicions, paranoia, whatever. It's funny to start at Baila, oh, right? If that's the whole matter of Al-Kacha, but whatever, that's a side question. So he's saying, yeah, so that's why he started in Baila, oh, right? I wrote with that, because that's one of the things which they saw. Right? So that's another version. This is Rav Huna's version of the four Machlokas. That Esther, when he's writing the Megillah, was writing about Ma'arol Kochel Megillah. What did they see? What did they see? So, of course, again, Rashi on the Pasuk, he brings them all down. Right? Ma'arol Chashverosh, Ma'arol Haman, Ma'arol Mordechai. Maybe he doesn't bring that last one. But, I mean, why in the world would you limit the mitzvah of the Megillah to one of these things? I mean, they're all true. Aren't these all great lessons when you read the Megillah? And weren't the Jews moved by all of these when they saw what happens to a Baal Taiva like Achashverosh, and they see what happens to a Baal Gaiva like Haman, and they see what happens to a Mordechai who sticks by his ideals, and you see what happens when Esther's plot, her Chachmadic plan, works out? I mean, they saw all this, and that was what the Jews were, Chazal said, were Kiblu Me'ava, Masha Kiblu Me'ira, whereas previously at Sinai they accepted the Torah out of Yira. But now when they saw the success of the life of Torah and the failure of the life of Rishos, they were Mekabel the Torah Me'ava. So these are all part of the whole story, right? The story which we all love. Now why would you chop it off and only read one part of it, right? It seems to be, this whole Machlokas is shocking, right? I mean, of course, arguably it's shocking because we read the whole thing. So, now, these positions sound absurd. But if we only read from the sixth parak, right, then if someone told you that you have to read from the beginning, they'd be like, what, the whole thing? Right? It's crazy. Right? So, there is an idea of reading a book from the middle, like we do in Haftorahs all the time. They don't say every time you have Haftorah, you read from the beginning of Shmuel, in order to get the whole context, right? I mean, there is such a thing as starting a story in the middle, right? Okay, well, a tiny bit more on the Gemara, and then we have to think. Okay, so then the Gemara says like this. Amar Chalba, Amar Chama, Bargoy, Amar Rav. Halacha kedivrei ha'omer, kula. Halacha is like, Mandamar says you have to read the whole thing. Which is what we hold, right? Now, filu Mandamar Meshihudi, and even according to Mandamar who says, Meshihudi, Shirchish deksuva kula. The whole thing has to be written. And I forgot who I saw in the Masifta. They say it's not only that mandamra, it means all the mandamra. Basically, they all agree that the whole thing, the book of the scroll which you read from, must contain the entire Megillah. Okay, that's not for debate. The question is, Mehechon Korin Es Megillah, Mehechon Korin Adam Es Megillah. From where do you have to read V'yotzei V'yidei Chavasa? So, if you want to be Yotzei the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, how much do you have to read? Right? But it's not a question of the book. The book definitely is the book which has the whole story. You just may not have to read the whole thing. That's a good question. I mean, why not? Why, if you tell me that I only have to read part of it, then why don't I only have to write part of it? So we got it. We have like a two-layered, two things going on here, I'd say, which we have to try to figure out. One is we have this four-way Machlokas Tanaim, right? And then we have a two-way Machlokas Amoraim about the source of the Machlokas Tanaim, right? Is it based upon the Tokef? Tokef Haman, Tokef Achashverosh, Tokef Mordechai, Tokef Anes? Or is it based on the Ma'arol Kochel Magi Aleihem? Right? That's like a sub-machlokas. Now, it's possible, it's not clear yet, it's possible that Rav Yochanan and Rav Huna have entirely different conceptions of the four machlokas. Or it's possible that they're kind of similar. In a certain sense, they do sound somewhat similar. Like, the Ma'arao is one's Achashverosh centered, and then the Ma'arao is Mordechai centered, and then Haman centered, and I guess the Ney centered. They're kind of similar. It sounds like the second one is getting into like a lot more depth, if you will. I mean, they're not exact, but they're kind of similar. You know, they're kind of close. And then, although definitely the Tokfa is much more brief, right, and the Ma'arao is much more lengthy. But in a certain general sense, they're not worlds apart. So, I think it might be wise for the time being to limit ourselves to one or the other, or kind of blend them together, if you will, or however you prefer. Either just blend them together or, you know, pick the Rav Yochanan's Tokva and try to get some insight into the Machlokas Tanaim. And then maybe we could see if we could, further subdivide or see if the other one is different or, you know, see what's the difference between Rav and Rav Huna. Okay? So, I mean, that's just my strategy, but, you know, if you disagree, that's fine also. My mind sees it's like, it kind of seemed like a detail, you know, so maybe more than a detail, but some secondary, and the primary question seems to be the four things. And even more primary, since the whole line of questioning to me sounds unfounded, right? Where are they coming from? What's the basis of these positions? Saying again, and even the Kulo Manda Omar does not say the plain logic. Of course, you have to read the whole Megillah. That's not what he says. He says because of Tokva of Achaverosh, because of Mavro Alkafa. Yeah. Now, the Navkamina means like Yotzei, right? I mean, it could be the other Mandamrim maybe would recommend that it's a good idea to read all of them. It's not clear, like, Lechachila, that's what they say to read, but they're asking how much do you need to be Yotzei? Like, let's say you come into Shul late. Right? Now, we know you have to read the Megillah in order. You can't read it out of order. So if you come in after the first Pasuk, then you might as well go home and come back later to the next reading, right? You missed the first Pasuk. You can't go out of order. So that's it. So it's a b'diavad, and sometimes it's practically hard to hear. Let's say one minute this, that. It's complicated, and to say that you need to hear the whole thing, and it's ma'akev, your mitzvah, right? It's a big deal. It's not, and you make another bracha, for instance, right? So it's, question is, at the minimally, what do you have to read? But it's not clear that they wouldn't all recommend reading the whole thing. Who knows, right? But the Gemara, the way the Mishnah says it, meheichan, Korevi Yotze Yude Chavasa. Right? So it doesn't quite say from where do you read the Megillah, or how much of Megillah you have to read. But you could say that's in the Hanami, but whatever. Okay, so a good first step. I hear what Ariel's saying.
Which one?
You. Which is that the last Mandama, the one who says the nes, right, is basically holding, I'm going to say it slightly differently, but that the mitzvah, and maybe this is what you're getting at, is that the mitzvah is really presuma nisa. Right? What's the mitzvah? What's the whole kiyum of the mitzvah of Gris Megillah? It's presuma nisa. Right? So, where's the nes? So, I mean, at least it sounds like they're learning the Nesis from the Shosh Melech. I mean, other things were like background, but where did it all start coming into motion? Positive events really going in the Jews' favor really started by the Shosh Melech, right? So, since the mitzvah is pursuing Nisa, so he'll say, that's what you got to read from the Shosh Melech, that's the Nes. So, yeah, there's background, of course. And you have to know the background, and it's in there in the book. If you want to look at it, it's there. Of course, there's a bigger story here, and the background gives you a better context to the Nes. But since the mitzvah is Pursume Nisa, so the obligation is to read the Nes. Right? That's the Chova. Everything else is background. Background information. Right? So even though at first it sounds like the funniest shita because it's the most minimal, but I think if you think about what is the mitzvah, what is the point of the mitzvah, I think it's like oftentimes you have a lot of shittas, it's easier to start with the easiest shita. Figure out, pick one and think which one makes more sense to you and get the ball rolling. So you could have said, I could have seen two possible shittas making the most sense to me. I would have at first said, it's the first mandam, right? He says, read the whole thing. But my reasoning would have been because it's the whole thing, but that's not the Gemara's reasoning. So that intuition you have that's the right one, that's the easier one because it's the whole thing, no one says that. So that, forget that intuition, that's not what's going on here. So now, if you come back and think, well, okay, so now what's the easiest one to understand? So then the Nes one seems apart from the other ones because the mitzvah, and it's a part that it's about the Nes as opposed to the people, true. But after all, if you think into what the mitzvah is, I mean, the Gemara is openly say the mitzvah is presume nisa. How do you understand that? You don't understand it, different language. What about presume nisa? The Gemara mentions various places the mitzvah is presume nisa. So that's the point of the mitzvah. So the nes That's talk about Nes. That's what he's saying. You got to read about the Nes. Right? That's the essence of what Pirsum is. If you do that, you've done Pirsum Nes. If you don't do that, you didn't do Pirsum Nes. Everything else is nice. There are a lot of lessons, a lot of things to learn. But why is that part of my obligation? Right? That's what he's saying. Why do you? How are you obligated to read that? Why are they obligating men and women to read twice on Purim to read the entire Megillah? After all, isn't the why are they obligated to read Megillah altogether? Isn't it because they wanted to be in Pirsum Nes? So if they want to be Pirsum Nes, so cut to the chase. Right? So now that presents us with the problem. Well, that's good. This is good. If you understand one sheet, then now that naturally gives you a kasha on the other sheetos. So why are the other sheetos holding you need anything more? Right? Now, how would you recommend that we proceed? What should we think about next? There are a lot of sheetos. Sometimes it's hard to think about. This is why I thought I mentioned that point to start with the one that's easier. It's very hard to think about four sheetos simultaneously. Right? Your mind is overwhelmed. You can't think. You just sit back and think, oh, I don't know, four sheetos. You know, it's like, I think it's always good to try to focus on one thing. Find the most basic point and see a point step by step by step. What's, you know, so you can be aware of the bigger picture, of course, but at the same time, focus your attention on one problem at a time. You know, that's my style. So, if that's the case, where should we go next? Here's a question. Do the other positions not hold that the essence of the Megillah is Pirsum Nisa? Like, are they holding the essence of the Megillah is Ahasuerus' book? So presumably they'll say, of course, you can't argue on that. That rather, it's definitely Pirsum Nisa, but the Pirsum Nisa has to be contextualized. You have to incorporate more than just the Nes itself, but you have to expand, and it must branch out to include further than just the Nes itself, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So now, is it pshat? They all agree that it has to include one more thing. And which one more thing is that? Mordechai or Haman or Achashverosh? Is that the... And that question is, which one more thing do you need to include? Right. So they're all inclusive. They're light layers, right? It's not clear that they're all saying the three separate things. And everyone agrees you read Menes plus one more thing. No, that's not arguably. No, that's what the Haman Shita holds. You're in the Nes plus the Haman. You got to include Haman. And then the Mordechai Shita is saying is, oh, okay, maybe I agree you have to include Haman, but you got to include a Mordechai. And Achashverosh is saying is, oh, no, you even got to include Mordechai, Achashverosh. Or it's possible. It's not as you don't have evidence that Achashverosh Shita is holding only Achashverosh. Just like we're saying is that the Nes, they all hold that you include the Nes. So it's possible that they're all holding you include Haman. It's just the question is, do you need to go more than that? Or it's possible, right? But at the very least, we know the one we could say with certainty is the Haman position. Because we know that he's saying that not only do you need the Nes, but you need Haman. Right? The other positions we don't know. Is he saying you need the Nes plus Achashverosh, or is he saying you need the Nes plus Achashverosh and Mordechai and Haman? Or is he saying Nes plus Achashverosh plus Haman and Mordechai? Mm-hmm. It's not clear, right? But what is clear is that the position, the simplest position at this point, is the Haman position, because he's saying you need the Nes, but you have to back it up to Haman, right? So I'm saying is he's the most definite, at least, simplest insofar as you know, approaching it. So, I would recommend for finding him. See where that goes. In other words, just the facts of Haman is clearly saying it's not enough to be Mepharsim in the Nes, to talk all about the Nes, but rather you must include Haman. You can't start at Bala Elohu without starting at Achar Dormaila, Gidon Avshavet Haman. So what's the svar for that? Right? So Yaakov says, well, is that what's the big deal about the Nes? Right? The Nes, okay, here's the Nes, another Shasamela, woke up, whatever, killed Haman, but what's the big deal? But then the Nes, what makes the Nes so important and so impressive and so meaningful to us is because what the Nes saved us from. What did the Nes save us from? It's from being wiped out, out of total destruction by the hand of the evil Haman, right? So he says is that just to talk about the nace without giving you the significance of the nace is not the mitzvah. The mitzvah must include the important backdrop. So the Mishnah says, "Your maskel v'gnus and misayim
v'shavach." Oh
yeah. That by the Sibur Yisrael Mitzrayim, you start off by talking about the bad stuff, and then you tell the good stuff. It's a machlokas. Rav and Shmuel, what's the gnus? What's the shavach? Is the gnus the bad stuff of Avodah Mayinu? Right? Start with Avodah Mayinu. Or is it mitchilo de'avodah zarah yavoseinu? Which aspect of the gnus? Which bad stuff? The philosophical bad stuff or the physical servitude bad stuff? Whatever. But the idea, presumably, the mitzvah isn't just to say God did a lot of miracles and took us out of Mitzrayim. Well, what was Mitzrayim? Was it a country club? No, it was a terrible place. The gnos, that's part of the appreciation of the Shevach, of the Sibur Mitzrayim, is the terrible servitude which we are in. And that's the halacha of Sibur Mitzrayim, that you have to begin that God that was talking about the bad parts. Right? Well, the only thing is, I mean, look, there's an intuitive machlokas here, but I don't think I'd go further than this. Maybe you could. But I'm just saying that, on the one hand, the ikar, the essence of what we're talking about, is the nace. On the other hand, the value of the nace is that it saves us from Haman. So on the one hand, look, the Chazal aren't trying to lob on as much as they could do. In theory, they only mechayev that which is necessary. So whereas one mandamer is saying is the absoluteness necessary is the nace. But the other mandamer is saying is that without an appreciation of the import of the nace, you're not going to be yotzei. But you must include. That's what they argue. That's the subject of the machlokas. Is how much were they mechayev you minimally? Is it enough just to do the nes itself, or you chayev to include that which gives the nes significance and importance, which is the haman? So the next mandama, if we work our way backwards, is Mordechai. So he's saying that it's not enough. Now we don't know. We don't know. Does the Mordechai position agree with the Haman?
Yeah.
And he's extending it even further? Or is he saying, forget Haman, who cares about Haman? The point is Mordechai, and of course you're not jumping around in the middle of Megillah, you're starting and then going till the end. Right? That's not 100% clear. But either way, he's saying is that the nes, you must include not only the nes, but you have to extend it to Mordechai. Right? Maybe or maybe not including Haman. Right? So what's the logic to say that you must include Mordechai? Why is my mitzvah, pierce my nes, demand that I include Mordechai? Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. So I think it's similar to what you guys are saying here. That the nace, the nace in Torah isn't just stam, like miracles. Like we're just celebrating miracles. Right? And God doesn't just do miracles. Right? But the nace is, and he doesn't even just do miracles to destroy evil people. Right? But the nace is very much tied in with Mordechai. Right? With the tzaddik. With the Jewish leader. Who was standing up against the Avodah Zarah and was going to be killed for that stand. And the nes was a schar and a geula for Kal Yisrael and for Mordechai for standing up against the Avodah Zarah. Right? So that's like the idea of Nisan, of a nes in the Torah, is as a schar and as a geula of Kal Yisrael, as led by Mordechai. So it's like if you just have Haman and the nes, it's like you get this idea, there's bad guys in the world, and God changes the laws of nature and just kills bad people. Which is not, I mean, maybe that's true, I don't think that's true, but that's not the idea, that's not what Mordechai the Megillah is about. Megillah is a schar for Mordechai's great, brave act of standing up to deny Avodah Zarah. So, and the nes is a schar for that. And that's part of the whole takeaway of the Megillah, is that the life of Torah leads a person to success, and there's ashkacha and a hidden way to lead about to the success of a people who stand up for Torah and the denial of Avodah Zarah. So he holds that it's not enough to talk about the nes in the abstract. It's not enough to talk about the nes, so what it saved us from, but it's important to extend and show what the nes is based upon and what the nes is realizing. It's a regula to Mordechai and to the Kal Yisrael. Right, so he says you got to extend the story to there. Okay, so what does the last mandamar hold? So maybe the pshat is that he holds that you need the setting. Okay, the nes took place in the setting, in a particular setting, of the most powerful king in the earth, Ahasuerus, Amalek Melchizedek. Whereas this was a nace on the world scene, right? And that's part of the significance of the whole thing, is that this was, the whole world was involved, or the powerful kingdom in the world was taking control, and they were going to wipe out all the Jews in this whole kingdom. That's like part of the whole context of the nace. It wasn't just in some one small little place where the Jews in one place were in danger. But the whole setting here is you have Ahasuerus, the king of the 127 nations, right? That gives you the backdrop and the proper setting of appreciating how the nace took place. That's like a relevant detail. Certain times the setting doesn't really matter. But here, the setting is an essential part of the nace. It was part of Malchus Ahasuerus, and that was Metzchil Batzof. The whole thing is the setting, the whole story, the significance of the story is that it's taking place in the White House, so to speak. It's in the center of the world, the world's palace. Right? That's the stage. So it's defining for you. The nace has like a different type of a significance insofar as you develop the stage upon which it's taking place. So he holds that when they set up the mitzvah for Simon Nisa, that's also included in the chol. So what's the machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan? Whereas Rav Yochanan learns them all out from Tokef, and Rav Huna learns them all out from his Maror HaKacham HaYelayim. He said they sound similar, but yet they're different somehow. Tension in the Takana Mordechai and Esther. On the one hand, there's a lot of ideas, and all these ideas are important, and you don't appreciate the Nais in the fullest. They're all, you include all of them. On the other hand, there's a minimization, so to speak, of Chova. You don't want to necessarily chayiv people that which is necessary. So there's a Shekhal Das unto how much are Mordechai and Esther in setting up this takana gemnim mechayven, right? So the different tanaim have a different shikol hadas in how much, at what point should they draw the line and say this is the chov. You're obligated to do this. After that, if you want to learn more, it's in the book. It's there. You want to learn more, you can learn more, and that's lechafila. So that's the question: is how far did they obligate? Okay, something like this. This is similar to, similar to a Kennedy saying. But, you see, what's amazing about the Megillah, okay, about Megillah's Esther, and I say it's also amazing about the Torah, okay, itself, is the dual level nature of the book, okay? The fact that the book of Esther talks to a plain, simple person, a kid, an Amaretz, Tal Chacham, anywhere in between. It's an amazing book. The story is, right, you get tingles, you hear the book, it's like the best movie, right? It's an unbelievable story. But at the same time, and kids learn it, and they read it, and kids love it, right? You don't even need to add an adjustment to it. It's a great, right? It's a plain shot of this thing. It's a great story. And at the same time, there's no love, the depth in the book. I mean, you have Badaf and Gemara being Doresh, the greatest Chachamim being Doresh, further and further insights into every line of the Megillah, right? So it's like this book which talks to Klal Yisrael on two levels. On a plain level of Tokef, they're strong, powerful people. Haman, Ahasuerus, Mordechai, the miracle, there's like major players in the Megillah. And a kid, a plain person, sees it as like the interplay of these major powers and major figures. But on a deeper level, you could study the Megillah and appreciate the subtleties of how to live and the lifestyle, and you could study the lifestyle of an Ahasuerus, of a Baal Taiva, and appreciate his downfall and see it from the Megillah. And you could study the lifestyle of Haman, the Baal Gaiva, Amalek, and see how he leads to his own downfall and his megalomania kills him. And you could study how the Mordechai takes a philosophical stand despite the personal risks, and how the Hashgacha ultimately leads to success. And how an Esther makes a carefully crafted plan with Chachma and with the Tshuva and the whole deal, and ended up leading to her plan coming to realization. There's a deep study of the Ma Ra'u Al Kacha Ma Hagia Layam. That's much more detailed than Tokef. Tokef is like the strength of the powerful figures. Ma Ra'u Al Kacha is an analytic study of all the different components of the Megillah. Okay, and in writing of the Megillah, Mordechai and Esther wrote this dual book, a book which talks to people who are interested in Tokef and talks to people who are interested in Ma'ar al-Kacha. And that's part of why Kimi Kibbalayim, the Kibbal Ma'ava, all of Kai Yisrael, Mekabal Ma'ava. A plain person who doesn't understand the Ma'ar al-Kacha was still moved by this. Is unbelievable. And they became, many Megayim became Jewish because of this. And people were Mekabal Ma'ava. This is an unbelievable thing. People who are deeper were able to study the subtleties of the story and to appreciate how the life of Torah leads to success and the life of Rishus leads to failure. Right? They're both built into this one book. And again, Torah is also like that. I mean, the Bible is like the bestseller, but at the same time, how much the whole Shas is built upon and fine dukim and the subtleties of the Torah. Right? So Mordechai and Esther obviously patterned there what they did after the Torah. Now the question is, now you have this dual book, and Mordechai and Esther are crafting a mitzvah of the Mikra Megillah. Now, is the parameters of the mitzvah, how are you going to determine the parameters of the mitzvah? Parameters, how much are they going to be chayven? Is the chayvos going to be built upon the tokef, on the mitzvah which is given to the basic, on the basic level for all of Klal Yisrael? And you determine, and so far as the message I'm giving to all of Klal Yisrael, how much do we have to obligate you in? Neis, tokef shal neis, tokef shal Esther, hamor hamon, Mordechai, Achshavosh. Or do you say no? Is that since there is a deeper level of the mitzvah, and the mitzvah, there's a higher realization of the Megillah, so the structure of the mitzvah is codified based upon reaching the higher level reader. That's what they're arguing about. That's what, based on which pasuk it's in, it's they're arguing which one should be the cause. There definitely are two faces to the mitzvah and two faces to the book, two faces in pursuing Nisa, but which one is going to be the determinant of the shir? And within either of them, you could have this four machlokas, and you could do the same. I'm arguing you could do the same four steps, which we did, but one's on a deeper level and one's on a more surface level. But given that the book does have these two things, and the Mitzvah Pursuing Nisa has these two levels, the question is which one should really be the determinant. On the one hand, all of Klal Yisrael, it's a mitzvah for everybody. So you'd argue, Rabbi Yochanan says, so the structure of the mitzvah should be crafted based upon everybody, the tokef level. On the other hand, the real highest fulfillment of the mitzvah, of the Pursuing Nisa, comes in the people who appreciate the full Ma'ar al-Kacha Ma'agiyah Lahem. That's the highest fulfillment. So structure the mitzvah based upon them. So the tokef side would be learning that the main tokef is the nes. You want to get impressed upon people the miracle of Purim. So you just have to read the hello. That's why it says, yeah, but the miracle of Purim, what are you saving us from? Evil Haman.
The strength of Haman.
And he says, yeah, but is that it? We just do miracles to wipe out evil people? No, it was the strong Mordechai, the great philosophical, you know, Gadol. The Gadol B'Torah. And the Nace happens to save a Gadol B'Torah. And then the other one says, one, the backdrop is the godless of Achashverosh. He's the ruler of the whole world. And this is the backdrop of the whole Megillah. Right? Mm-hmm. And then on the Ma'ar al-Kacha, so I guess the Nace, you want to study an in-depth analysis of the Nace. That's really why I learned the Shnas HaMelech. How did the Nes occur? What really was the steps which made the Nes occur? So that was at that's where it happened. That night was really where the Nes started working as magic. You want to understand the Nes? Study that. See how all those factors, coincidences worked out on that night and going forward. You want to understand further that the Nes saved us from an evil Haman. So then you'll say, one second, the Nes saved us from a Haman. Haman was a certain type of a person. He set himself up to destroy the Jews because he had a philosophical problem with the Klal Yisrael, and that ended up leading to his downfall. So we're studying that the Nes is saving us from Haman, but we don't just say from evil Haman, we say from Haman, the Baal Gaiva, who can't stand the fact that Klal Yisrael is antithetical to his whole emotional belief system. So it's like we develop the personality of what it saved us from. We don't just say, saved us from evil Haman. We see philosophically what we're being saved from. And Hisyam Malik is antithesis of Torah, you know. And then the other ones say, oh, yeah, but at the same time, the Nes must include Mordechai. After all, the Schar Ba'onesh, it's not just the destruction of the evil person, but it's based upon a Schar. Well, what's the nature of the Schar? Why is he getting the Schar? What did he do so good to get such a Nes occur? Oh, because he wasn't bowing down to Amun and he's standing up to, you know, for Torah and Yichud Hashem, and, right? And then I guess the other one's going to say, you want to understand the backdrop is the backdrop of Ahasuerus, but what's the backdrop? It's a certain type of a person, not just the most powerful person in the world, but he's Baal Taiva, and that set the whole nature of who he was. And he said that he killed his wife, and then he ended up opening the door for Esther, and then that was the whole, you know, the whole scene. If you want to really understand the backdrop of, in theory, how Haman rose to power, if you want to, like, the fact that Ahasuerus was that type of person he was is what allowed Haman to get come into play, because Ahasuerus wasn't interested in that. He was into Taiva. It allowed Mordechai to come into play. Like, the whole backdrop of the Megillah is understood by understanding the personality of who Ahasuerus was. So it starts with him killing Vashti, but I think that ends up bringing in Esther, that ends up bringing in Haman, because he needed the second in command, and that ends up ultimately bringing in Mordechai. So it's like there, it's a different picture of the Megillah, you know, on a deeper level as well as on a simple level. I guess the Nes one, Maralakal Megillim, is basically showing the Nes, but it's showing how the Nes, right, how the Nes came about through realizing Esther's plan. It didn't just happen a miracle, but the miracle was that the plan which Esther made, which could have happened, could have been realized or could have not been realized, depending on chance factors, it worked out perfectly. Right? And her plan was a great plan, but really under sealing the plan was by under Shasam Alach and his anger about Haman from the night before. That's what really allowed the plan to come to fruition. Because, you know, the reason why it worked is because, you know, the table started turning already against Haman, which was brought on by the whole violent of the Shemal, turned towards the Jews and against Haman. So studying the Nes, you study how the Nes happened, but you appreciate the way the Nes worked through the personalities of Mordechai, Esther, and Haman, you know, but on the Shemal. Basically, through the Nes function, Ashkacha function, through helping the Tzidkus and the good decisions of the Tzaddikim, and through monopolizing or working with the errors of the Rishonim and allowing them to come to fruition to lead into their downfall. Mm-hmm. Haman made mistakes, but not every mistake of a Rasha leads to his downfall. You need certain factors to come into play together. So Haman's evil ended up leading to his downfall because of the fact the timing and everything worked out. That Haman happened to be walking in and saying, hey, you got to hang on Mordechai right now, in the middle of the night. It happened to be right at the time where he's reading the Sefer Zechronos, because Esther's plan was, she put in his head this thing about he's all wondering what's going on, why is there a party, what's wrong with someone, right? So like it all, the Hashkacha worked to allow the, you know, the Chachma of the Tzaddik to come to fruition and the Rishos of the Rasha to come to fruition. So it's like a study in how the Hashkacha, the Nes Nistah, operates.